You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
New Philadelphia Eagles quarterback has spoken. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons here with you at Ian Fitz ESPN is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. So we are going to start NFL, but of course, all the talk today and all the workplaces, all around the schools, Ian, is bracketology, right? Bracket mania. We now know because of Selection Sunday who is headed to the dance. If you want to be part of it like we are, all you have to do is download the Tournament ESPN Challenge app or go to ESPN.com. There's a link right there on the homepage for the ESPN Tournament Challenge. You can even join the Amber and Ian group. You can compete right against us in the Tournament Challenge, and everybody at ESPN Radio is competing in an ESPN Radio group. So we are ready to go. I'm planning to win billions of dollars, Ian.
I won't. I can promise you. There is nobody worse at picking a bracket winner than me because I overthink everything except this year. It took me about, 90 seconds to fill out my bracket this year. Seriously, I just went chalk for most of it except for two teams. JMU, I got them going to the Sweet 16. Their head coach, Mark Byington, will be joining us coming up the next hour of the program. He'll explain why. Probably going to get mad at you and I because we are, or one of us at least, is picking them to survive in advance and get to the second weekend. I think he wants to fly under the radar. And I got Samford covering the 8 and outright win over Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Other than that,
wow,
all chalk. I just said to hell with it. I'm not going to try and overthink this thing because every year I do it and every year I am finished close to dead last in either money pools that I'm in or in the ESPN bracket challenge. So there you go.
I've already filled out several brackets. Okay, I filled out one for the ESPN. I filled out the one for the ESPN radio challenge. I filled out one on like my personal account that I already had for the ESPN tournament challenge that I do every year. I'm that person. Already filled out multiple brackets. Couldn't tell you what the hell they said. I don't know. I just went gut every time. And somehow every time I fill out a bracket, my gut's a little bit different. So we'll see if any of them hit.
Amber, I will tell you this. I am so pathetic at picking these things. That our good friend Lance Taylor at WJOX, or used to be WJOX in Birmingham, I lost back-to-back years with him. One year I had to eat raccoon because of taquito spikes. Long
what?
Story. Yes, I swear to you. And
that's country. What?
All because of taquito spikes. The dude is a gazillionaire, and he still eats barbecued raccoon every Easter. That's what his mom made every single year when they were growing up. Family get together in the Spikes family. They still eat barbecued raccoon every single Easter. We had him on at some point. I think it was Auburn, spring football. Next thing you know, he's talking about raccoon. That was the wager that Lance came up with. I said, sure, I'm beating you this year. I got crushed. The following year, Lance
is so... Did it taste like chicken?
No. Hell no. They did it in like a gumbo. I'm like almost like a jambalaya. Just talking about it right now, I can still taste the iron on my palate.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, it was about as good as a chef could do. I mean, it was a world-class chef, Jess Boudreau, who did it. I mean, it was awesome. He owns Lula in New Orleans. But anyway, yeah.
But it's raccoon.
Thank you. Right? Thank you. Then the following year, I'm like, I'm getting in this year. The bet was you had to wear remember Snuggies?
Yes.
The loser had to wear a Snuggie everywhere they went. Grocery store, church, radio appearances. You
That's
name
amazing.
It. We had to wear a Snuggie wherever you went. How he came up with that, I have no earthly idea. Guess who wore a Snuggie everywhere for a week?
Did you have to wear it like a Snuggie, or could you like flip it around so that it was like a robe?
Nope, you had to wear it as a Snuggie. That's a good question, Rachel.
That
he actually
incredible.
Clarified
I'm
that.
I'm not even going to lie.
He also sold the show. He booked us every single day for a public appearance.
Of course he did.
So there you go. When it comes to bracket challenges, I am your ultimate loser.
Well, I started my career with a very different experience because I worked at CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, very early in my career when I first started out, and I won our entire CBSSports.com bracket challenge. And that was because I was a homer, and I picked the Gators to go all the way. And that was, and the Gators actually went all the damn way in 2007. So I win the whole thing. So I win all this money. I'm riding high. I think that this is my thing moving forward. And that was how many years ago? And it's never, lightning has never struck again. But I'm going to try. We are going to continue to try.
Year.
So again, ESPN Tournament Challenge. You can download the app. It's super easy. Or go to ESPN.com. You'll find the link right there on the homepage. But I mentioned, Ian, that the new quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles has spoken. Of course, I'm not talking about Jalen Hurts because he's not new. I'm talking about Kenny Pickett, who was traded to Philadelphia. And why was Kenny Pickett traded to Philadelphia? Well, in part because apparently he wanted out of Pittsburgh. So he spoke to the media today. He was asked, why did he want out?
You know, I just thought it was time. You know, it just felt like it was time from, you know, the things that transpired and, you know, wanted to get a chance to go somewhere else and continue to grow my career. And the fact that it's in Philly, you know, the place that I grew up, you know, found the love for the game here with a great coaching staff, you know, great players. I'm looking forward to meet all these guys in a couple of weeks when everyone gets back into town. But it's an awesome opportunity here to join this team.
So basically, Russell Wilson gets to Pittsburgh, and Kenny Pickett wants the heck out of Pittsburgh, right? I mean, those two things happened within what felt like minutes of one another. And I know Russell Wilson, I believe, had even called Kenny Pickett there when he made the decision to go to the Steelers and said, you know, I'm looking forward to competing with you or something to that nature. And Kenny Pickett didn't feel the same way. Kenny Pickett wanted to move on. Frankly, I don't blame Kenny Pickett because of the way, obviously, things ended there with the Steelers at the end. I mean, the writing was on the wall. They're bringing in other quarterbacks. And now, heck, we see what even happened there with Justin Fields. And maybe with Kenny Pickett, Ian, he'll get a fresh start here. The problem is that now he is a certifiable backup in the league, and I don't know when he's going to get an opportunity again to showcase his stuff.
Yeah, what stood out to me there when he said it was time. It was time when Mason Rudolph last year played a hell of a lot better than you did.
Right.
That's when you knew it was time, and the writing wasn't even on the wall. It was written and then erased, and then Russell Wilson's name was put up. All right, because when Mason Rudolph, who's a solid backup, let's be honest. I mean, he's a nice backup quarterback in the NFL. Was a hell of a lot better than you as a first round pick. You knew you were gone. Then you bring in Russell Wilson, and instead of, you know, staying and competing, you're like, you know what, hell with it, I'm out of here. And the coaching staff, not the coaching staff, I think the front office when they drafted Pickett was, you know, kind of placating and playing to a fan base. He was a Pittsburgh Panther legend, won an ACC title there. I mean, threw for a gazillion yards, and he had a hell of a run. But he was not a first-round pick. And James Steele called this on, you know, right after the draft. I got to give James a lot of credit. I mean, we'll give you 30 seconds on a victory lap because Kenny Pickett flamed out in remarkable fashion as a Pittsburgh Steeler. He was a great Panther, not so much as a Steeler. James, you called it. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super smart and right on almost everything, so.
Well, no, that's true. But you did, in fact, call this one. Yeah, I have to admit, have been saying this for years now that Kenny Pickett ain't it.
Yeah, that's my saying. Kenny Pickett ain't it. And, you know, I mean, they reached for him. None of the quarterbacks that were drafted that year should have been a first-round quarterback. I mean, he was the only
No doubt. No doubt.
Right? Like,
and he was the only one. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a horrific year.
There were even reports late last season where locally conflicting on whether or not he refused to dress up for one of the games, right, where he was cleared to play, but wasn't going to start too. So, like, and this had Kenny Pickett out in Pittsburgh written all over it, like in December. So,
yeah, and I mean, listen, I don't blame him, frankly, for wanting out of the situation. But I would have been more offended by what you said, the Mason Rudolph thing, than even by the Russell Wilson thing. Like, that would have been more of a final straw for me if I was Kenny Pickett. Just because if you're getting unseated by the dude who is a good backup, but like you said, a career backup at this point, yeah, in his career, young guy, whatever. It's very different, I think, than getting unseated by Russell Wilson on a vet min $1.2 million deal when you are talking about a quarterback there who's won a Super Bowl and been a Super Bowl MVP and did all the things that he did for so long in Seattle, even if he's not that guy anymore. That is that guy's resume. So that one seems less embarrassing to me when that guy was available to the Steelers for dirt cheap than even the Mason Rudolph thing. But it all adds up. And it all adds up to a situation where clearly Kenny Pickett was not going to be the future there in Pittsburgh. What's interesting, though, is Russell Wilson is also not probably going to be the future there in Pittsburgh. So enter Justin Fields. And what situation does that create inside that locker room? We are going to get to that coming up here next, because the Steelers quarterback room sure will look different next season.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Well, we'll see if the Pittsburgh Steelers have it all. Certainly their quarterback room is going to look very, very different in 2024 than it did in 2023. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. So first we got Russell Wilson to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then the departure of Kenny Pickett. Okay, we thought Russ was the answer for now there in Pittsburgh, but apparently Pittsburgh had another move up its sleeve, because the Steelers traded a conditional 2025 sixth rounder for Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears. So Justin Fields now part of that quarterback room with Russell Wilson. This is a weird one to be in, and really it shouldn't be. Because we had been hearing the whole Justin Fields to Pittsburgh rumor. We'd been talking about that in a vacuum, and that seemed like a good idea. We've been talking about Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh in a vacuum, and that seemed like a good idea. The possibility of them doing both, frankly, was something that hadn't occurred to me, and I'm not sure it's something that I like. Even though I like option A and I like option B, I'm not sure I like the above all option C.
I think option B is going to end up being the starter in Pittsburgh. Personally, I think it's going to be week one. I think at the latest, week three. But before we even get to the reasoning in that, think about this, Amber. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the Chicago Bears on speed dial right now. Like, I think every GM that's been at a certain place, even a short time or a long time, I don't even care how the length, to be honest now, but the more I think about it, has certain guys on their radar, certain teams on their radar going, all right, can I just go ahead and steal just a trade from this particular team? The Pittsburgh Steelers have the Chicago Bears on speed dial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go back to last year. They got a first-round pick for Chase Claypool. A first-rounder. Who they couldn't – they wanted him out of the building faster than you can imagine. I mean, other teams I heard were offering like fourth- and fifth-rounders. Who did the Steelers rely on? We give you the Chicago Bears. Here's a first-rounder for a disgruntled wideout that has made it quite clear he wants to get the hell away from your organization. Then, fast forward to this weekend. Who did the Steelers call when a lot of teams, and look, we were right there with them, and Field Yates and, you know, Shefty, everybody we've talked to said, you know, second-round pick, you know, or a third round with an escalator to a second round, probably for Justin Fields. What did the Steelers give up? A sixth-rounder, as you mentioned, and an escalator to a fourth round if he plays 51% of the snaps. The Steelers and Omar Connor sitting there going, God, they did it again! They did it again! I mean, it's remarkable. It really is. So congratulations to the Steelers. You fleeced them yet again. That's number one.
I know that's how Bears fans feel today. Now, the New York Post was reporting that Justin Fields blocked four teams from trading for him before agreeing to go to Pittsburgh. And there was that whole narrative coming out of Chicago that we want to do right by Justin Fields, and that this is where they felt like they were doing right because he wanted to go to Pittsburgh and apparently did not want to go to any of these other suitors. I don't know what to believe there, because that could be Chicago leaking stuff to save a whole lot of face also, because they only got a sixth rounder in return for Justin Fields, and it doesn't look good. But I will say this. I do think where they did right by him, and I have a hard time ever believing when a team says, that's our number one priority, is doing right. Like,
amen. Okay. Their number one priority is to the team and the organization and that fan base and the guys in that locker room. I'm with you.
Exactly. But I do think the fact that they didn't hold on to him throughout the offseason into the season, because they could have done that, and they could have waited for a team to be in a position where their starter goes down, and then they're way and maybe more willing to give up something more than a sixth rounder for Justin Fields. I think the market would have been better had at this point they just hung on to him for a long time. But that would not have been a good situation for Justin Fields with Caleb Williams coming in there, and then you have an offseason and a preseason, and then you're waiting for somebody to get hurt there at the beginning of the season. So there, it, from that perspective, I can see why they went ahead and did it now, and I think that was kind of them doing right by him. But I'm surprised that it was only a six-rounder, and I'm surprised that the Steelers still did this after getting Russell Wilson. And, man, Russell Wilson's got to be mad. Now he's saying all the right things. He's on social media welcoming Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. For all the crap that people talk about Russell Wilson, that dude says all the right things, does the right things. I told you the phone call to Kenny Pickett when he was going to Pittsburgh originally. Here he's congratulating Justin Fields, welcoming him in publicly. But underneath it all, there's no chance in my mind that Russell Wilson, who could have picked, I mean, we obviously know he had the meeting with the Giants, but he was on a $1.2 million vet min. Like, that dude was there for practically free for the quarterback market. So he had suitors, obviously. He was going to have options. There's no chance he picks Pittsburgh if he doesn't think he's going to be the starter all season, Ian. And this move of Justin Fields feels like Russell Wilson ain't going to be the starter all season.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the beauty of that Russell Wilson deal, because the Broncos are still paying him the $37 million plus, right? So to your point, the Steelers get the great deal on the 1.2 vested vet minimum. But I'm with you. I mean, he's going to say all the right things publicly, but behind the scenes, that dude is a different person. But from everybody I've talked to going back to his days in Seattle to Denver, he is just a different dude when it comes to in the room and behind the scenes. So there's, and having said that, I'm also with you. I think Russell Wilson right now is beyond Betty Crocker. He's furious. I mean, it is. And he won because he knows he's got to now go compete. And there is zero doubt in my mind at this stage of their careers, Justin Fields is the better quarterback than Russell Wilson. And there is zero doubt in my mind that by week three, Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback. I really believe he's going to beat him out by week one. But you made this comment in pre-show, and you may be spot on, that the Steelers may have to start Russell Wilson, even though I don't think that's Mike Tomlin's personality. I don't think he gives a damn about feelings, right? I mean, he wants to put the best player out there. But if that is the case, then Russ may get the get-go on week one. If you wet the bed, you get week two. If you still are, we're putting the better quarterback in. Because right now, if we were drafting right now at this stage of their careers, Justin Fields is a top 10 pick in this draft with this quarterback class. Russell Wilson's not even cracking the first three rounds. That's just the way it is. His last two organizations have said,
this version of Russell Wilson.
That's what I mean. Right now. Russell Wilson. Right now. Yeah, at this moment, right now, Justin
so
Fields,
much of that is age. I mean,
I
so
care.
Much of that's age. If their careers end today, Russell Wilson's resume is maybe a million times better than Justin Fields.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers week
the future
one
potential.
Right now. Right now, at where they are in their careers, Justin Fields is a top 10 pick in this draft. Russell Wilson doesn't even crack the first three rounds. Hell, he might even be a fifth rounder.
But again, that's, of course, potential. And the only way to evaluate future potential of Justin Fields is to go ahead and see him play this season. And
Absolutely.
If you're Pittsburgh, that's going to be of the utmost importance, because otherwise you're going to have to pay that dude. You're not going to want to pay that guy unless you actually think that he's going to be worth paying. And how do you make that decision without him being a starter for a significant portion of the season? So if I'm Russell Wilson behind the scenes, and I don't blame him for this, because, again, he's saying all the right things publicly, I'm mother bleeping stuff behind behind the scenes, at least in my own household, because I am not happy with this situation. I do think Russell Wilson would have had options for $1.2 million. Again, you're far lower and more critical of Russell Wilson than, frankly, I am overall. But either way, it doesn't really matter. You're talking about a $1.2 million deal for Russell Wilson. Like, I'm not saying Russell Wilson's the next coming. It's just great value. There would have been a lot of teams that are like, heck, let's give it a shot, right? And yet, he chose Pittsburgh, I think, thinking that he wouldn't have a quarterback competition. And I don't think Mike Tomlin would have had to call him when he was making this Justin Fields move. He called Russell Wilson. I don't think that would have happened if this had always been the plan all along. When Russell Wilson chose Pittsburgh, if he had chosen Pittsburgh and the Steelers had told him, hey, we're still going to be shopping and still going to be trying to work out this Justin Fields thing, then I don't think there would have been a need for Tomlin, frankly, to have to call Russ in the whole thing. I think that shows that the Steelers ended up still doing this thing on the back end after getting Russell Wilson. I think that it could be a disastrous situation because you have to make the switch to evaluate Justin Fields, right? And yet, I don't know if you're putting either of your candidates then in the best position for actual success. I don't know if this is going to motivate either of them. Maybe it will.
Well, Fields is already motivated. And I think it will drive Russell, to your point, a bit. But I'll give you this. Here's the difference between Fields and Wilson right now in their careers. Russell Wilson's last two employers said, get the hell out. And one of them paid him nearly $90 million to get the hell out. And also before, you know, the trade season began, they said, no. You can go seek a trade now. You're good. We want you to get the hell out. You listen to what Justin Fields' teammates were saying in Chicago about him being traded. They're livid. They love the guy. So,
but the organization wanted to move on. Yeah, in fairness, the organization also is get the heck out. If they didn't think, if they thought Justin Fields was the answer, they wouldn't be drafting Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that's a new regime. It didn't draft Fields, and they want their guy, and it's a, quote, generational quarterback coming in. But Russell's previous two employers said, beat it. Justin Fields' old teammates are going, damn, we're going to miss you. That's a difference.
You could make the same regime argument there when it comes to Sean Payton with the Broncos, right? It seems like he didn't take that job thinking that Russ was going to be his guy of the future, so he told him to get out. It'll be a really interesting situation. I don't know if I like it if I'm a Steelers fan, but I'm not, so it's fun to watch from the outside looking in. Coming up next, Texas Tech has a matchup with one of the hottest teams headed into the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about that next year on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, who's in the dance? So let the dancing begin. If you want to be part of the dance, all you have to do is download the Tournament Challenge app, the ESPN Tournament Challenge. You can go to ESPN.com. You can click the link there as well. It's right there on the homepage. That's how you fill out your brackets. That's how you win the gazillions of dollars that I have no doubt you're going to win. And more importantly, that's how you join the Amber and Ian group. Okay, we have our ESPN Radio group. Both me and Ian, of course, have filled out brackets. We're also going to have an Amber and Ian group as well. So we'd love for you guys to compete against us in the Tournament Challenge. So again, the ESPN Tournament Challenge app is a great place to find us. At Ian Fitz ESPN is also how you find him on social. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. So we are about to start dancing. And boy, do we have a matchup, Ian, right out of the gate there on Thursday at 9:40 p.m. Eastern. Let's bring in one of the head coaches that will be part of that matchup, Coach Grant McCaslin, Texas Tech head coach, kind enough to join us. And thanks for your time, Coach Mac. So you've got NC State Thursday, 9:40 p.m. Both of these teams, hot streak, coming into the dance. I mean, a heck of a matchup for all of us on the outside looking in. How are you, though, feeling about this matchup on the inside?
Hey, good to be with you. If you're in the NCAA tournament, you feel great. That's the starter. And then you're excited about Selection Sunday, and then you dive into the opponent, and then there's an immediate respect, and it's obvious the reason why NC State and Coach Keats done an unbelievable job with his group. They've simplified a lot of things. They've gone with a smaller rotation, and they're really good. They've finished these games in a way that you can tell they believe in each other right now. They've got a formula that works, and we're going to have to play our best in order to beat them. And them winning the ACC tournament has obviously given them a lot of confidence.
Coach Mack, what was it like? What was your emotion like? First year as the head coach of the Red Raiders, you got guns up, you're watching the selection show, and bam, even though you weren't a bubble team, still, what was that emotion like when you saw your logo flash on the TV?
Oh, there's nothing like it. It really isn't. And it all is about the whole journey of finding a way to be at your best when you get to March. And everybody wants to know in the summer how you're going to be. And then in the fall and the preseason, and then you have scrimmages and schedules of who you played get leaked, and people want to know how those went. But you know this, it's like, how do you hang together through the difficult times? And I think that when your name's flashed up on the screen, that's what I think about is, man, how this group has endured and how much they love each other. And then the joy that you get to keep competing, because there's not very many teams that are still playing. I mean, there's 68 teams right now that have an opportunity to win a national championship. And that's what I told our guys. And I think when it flashes up there, that's what goes to my brain is just, man, has this team been through a lot, and do we really love each other, and what a joy it is that we get to keep playing.
Texas Tech head coach, Coach Mack, joining us here on Amber and Ian. Coach, you guys had a tough stretch there in the middle of the season. Then you get right when it matters most. How did you guys get through that tough stretch, but how also do you think that prepares you now for what you're about to go through in mid-March?
Yeah, I mean, and it started at the Cincinnati game. I mean, we had three guys that came to the locker room during warm-ups, and one that left shoot around and didn't even come back to the game. It didn't play, and they came in, and three of them played with being sick that night. And we really got depleted during that stretch. I mean, we had guys that, I mean, probably couldn't have played just based off of how they felt, and they fought through, and it bottomed us out, but it also allowed other guys that hadn't been in the rotation an opportunity to improve, which, like you said, I think in the end ultimately allowed us to find depth so that we could finish this. And then we played without Warren Washington for a few weeks, and that part, I think, took us some time, but we got better defensively because of it, because we really had to lock in on ways to create opportunities to score, and our defense was the best chance. And that was probably the part of our scheme that was the least prepared to compete for a championship, and we've improved in that area. And then hopefully we can get Warren back at some point to where we can create the better opportunities offensively with his addition and keep making the strides defensively to get better. And that's where I think our team's playing our best basketball, because we're playing our best defense that we've played all year long.
Coach, you and the SEC have the most teams in the tournament with 8 apiece. And there's two trains of thought here that we've heard for years. One is, when you play a gauntlet like you did in the Big 12, like the SEC has, it leathers you. You get calloused. The other is, it wears you out. Where do you stand? What do you believe playing a gauntlet like you all did in the Big 12 and SEC teams did either helps or hinders going into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I would tell you that probably going in after the BYU game, I would have felt like that we were prepared. Darian Williams tweaked his ankle in that game and then didn't play against Houston. And he's probably been our most efficient player over the last month of the season. I mean, he had basically that perfect game against Kansas. And, you know, he just really has been a steady force for us. And you know, getting him back and I think playing in that NC State game and seeing what kind of form he can be at really is going to determine the ceiling of our team. So I would say other than him, I feel great about where we're at, just trying to figure out how healthy he'll be, I think will really determine. So I think we're leathered in all the positions, you know, and that one would be the only one that would be a question mark at this point.
How often are you texting and calling your trainers going, update, what do we got?
Well, I don't have to do it because we're all up here at the facility together 24/7. So
they're down the hall.
I just walk down and right. Yeah, I just open the door to the office and holler at them. But yeah, no, it's awesome. I do believe with all my heart we'll be where we need to be when the game comes. And there's been a lot of progress made, so updates have been plenty, and the progress has been what we wanted it to be.
Texas Tech head coach Grant McCaslin joining us here on Amber and Ian. Coach, with the NBA, we always talk about how playoff basketball is so different. It's up-tempo. The game is literally faster. With the NCAA tournament, what are the differences from an on-the-court perspective between the regular season and the dance?
Well, you know, the heightened awareness that your season ends, I think is one area that you got to avoid the panic associated with that. And I think our team, having been through enough of the Big 12, and that's where I'll tell you that it does help you to play in these road environments where there's a lot of stress on your team. I mean, I'm coming from a league where, you know, there weren't always great road environments, where in the Big 12, every night you're playing in front of, I think, one of the most hostile fans in the country, and that's what I think gives you that edge to understand how important every possession is. But you also got to play the game with confidence, and you know the NCAA tournament has a way of, I think, exposing people that are to the point of the season where they're either playing for themselves or you just want it to be over with. And I hate saying it that way, and it may seem extreme, but it almost gets to that point where if you don't love this and you're not competing for each other, even the talented teams, they get to a point where they get exposed. And the regular season has that, you know, hey, you know, we get to keep playing no matter what, where the postseason, you just can't let that, this could be our last game, panic be a part of it. And that's where I think playing in these road environments of the regular season is helpful, and staying together and playing for each other couldn't be more important in the postseason.
Man, that is an outstanding synopsis of the beauty and the beast of the NCAA tournament. Coach Mack, as we turn you loose, as we've gotten to know you, you have such a positive outlook on not just the game of basketball, but the game of life, man. If you can, sum up what has been the most enjoyable part of this particular journey with this particular group of young men in your first year there at Tech going into the NCAA tournament.
Well, y'all seen these benches. I mean, there's more people on the bench than there are players. You know, it's a really awesome, but these major college programs and all the people that are involved and all the hard work that goes. And I'll tell you what's the most enjoyable is to have everybody involved and have families be able to travel. And, you know, we'll have these team meals where we're after we beat BYU and all the coaches and wives and kids and GAs and family members are all in the room celebrating and eating together. And I think that's the most underrated part of this whole deal is there's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of notoriety. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, draft status and stock and who can win the tournament, but it's the people that you get to do it with. And there's times like that where everybody's eating in the same room and the joy that you get to be a part of, and being around such awesome people, that's what I'll tell you has been the most enjoyable part. There really is a deep love from trainers to managers to players to just the whole crew and all the families getting to be involved. There's nothing like it.
Probably a little bit more enjoyable too, if you can take that deep here into March, and certainly you will be trying to do that. Coach Grant McCaslin, Texas Tech head coach. Texas Tech takes on NC State Thursday, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, with Kentucky or Oakland on the other side. Thanks, Coach Mack.
Love being on. Join us and cheering on the Red Raiders as we fight the old NC State fellas. And appreciate you having me on. Wreck 'em.
Go get
we
him,
will.
Coach.
I appreciate you. So it is March Madness. Obviously, the madness is actually upon us. And bracketology is here as well. Coming up next, Ian, already a degenerate. We are only hours into this thing. An absolute degenerate. We'll get to that next year on ESPN Radio. Yesterday was Selection Sunday. We figured out who the committee put into the NCAA tournament. We're just over 24 hours removed from those decisions, Ian, from everybody finding out who's even part of this bracket. And somehow, in the last 24 hours, you have already managed to wager significant funds
on well, hold
all
on
sorts
a minute
of
now.
Stuff.
My wife listening? No, she's not. There's certain games.
Insignificant if she's listening, significant
right,
if she's not.
Right, because there's certain games, depending on when you're wagering, like if it's later in the week and you're playing with house money, you might up the stakes a little bit. But when you're starting out in a week, like we will be tomorrow, you settle on Tuesday and Wednesdays, basically. And if you're going with a local book, or that's just what you do like on ESPN Bet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just have a balance. You know, and so if the balance is in the green, which is good, right, then, hey, we can wager a little bit more. So we're starting the week. So she had no idea what we did today, meaning this morning when she went to work and the kids were off at school. And I started, you know, kind of diving into some things. And we went a little heavier than normal, and that's why I like these four particular wagers. I said, you know what? And I don't like wagering early in a week, because what if somebody tweaks an ankle,
right?
You know, or that's why.
I mean,
some,
God forbid, like what happened to my Florida Gators? Goodness!
Oh,
I mean,
when Mac
team,
went out,
were, oh.
That's I had Florida. Okay, I'm feeling great about that game going in. I'm catching six, and that's why sometimes in big games, live wagering is better. Like you wait 5-6 minutes in, and you see, all right, how's this thing flowing? And you see how the number goes a little bit. And if I would have waited, then when Mac went down, I'm going, you hammer Auburn. Right? I mean, just go ahead and whatever you got, hit it, and you would have cashed. Well, so but these are four games that I like that much, and I'm nervous. I'm going to be sweating until Thursday that no big players for these four teams twist an ankle. Get the flu, get the vid, whatever it may be, right? Just please put them in bubbles and make sure they're healthy come tip time. One is the team that we just talked to. If you are just tuning in, head coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders, Grant McCaslin, just joined us. Coach Mack has got a bundle of energy, great guy, but guess what? His team is favored over America's darling right now. You know who America's darling is?
NC State.
Winning 5-5 is unbelievable. It hadn't been done since 11 with UConn, never in the ACC. I never dreamed it would ever be done in the ACC. And they won 5 games in 5 days, and the title team against your rival, UNC, after playing a night game against Virginia, after beating Duke the day before, and they found a way to do it, and do it convincingly. Well, guess what? They're a 5-point underdog to Texas Tech. Texas Tech's getting healthier. You heard Coach Mack talking about that. He got guys in the training room nonstop. And the number one thing is Vegas is begging America to take NC State. To take NC State. Guess what? You go the other way.
Right.
Give me Texas Tech. That's one I've already hit. I took Samford.
I took NC State, by the way, but not from a betting perspective in my bracket. Either way, it's probably
Texas Tech's favored.
Right.
Yeah,
it's probably a fool's wager there. But I'm just riding the momentum there from NC State because we're all so impressed with what they did in the ACC tournament.
How do you emotionally get back up, Amber? Because I know there's a bunch of seniors, DJ Horn, DJ Burns. You know, is he going to be healthy with that groin injury, right? Because if Mac can't go, then, I mean, that's your big defensive stopper. I mean, he's a remarkable defensive player. But, again, like you're going, oh, my God, how'd they do this? Oh, they're catching five? Oh, well, give me the Wolfpack. No. You go the other way. So I went with the Red Raiders. Also, James Madison. This is my number one. I mean, this bunch, and we're going to talk to their head coach coming up in a bit, and Mark Byington. I mean, they've won 31 games this year. They've beaten blue bloods like Michigan State. Week one, when Michigan State was ranked fourth in the country. There's only four teams that have over 30 wins in this damn tourney, and they're one of them, right? Only two that have 31 wins. They're one of them. And they got eight guys that they play an average of around 20 minutes. No one's locking big, heavy minutes, right? They have a 9-10-man rotation. But when you got eight dudes playing about 20, and they're all juniors and seniors, yeah, I like that bunch. So I took JMU plus the points, and I got them going to the Sweet 16. I've got Samford plus eight.
So beating Wisconsin, by the way, is who they're paired up again.
Down. Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
I have Wisconsin going ahead. In our tournament challenge, you can download the Tournament Challenge app, or you can go to ESPN.com. There's a link right there that you can click on the homepage. You can join in, fill out your own bracket. You can compete against us as well. We're going to have an Amber and Ian radio group if you want to go ahead and join our specific tournament challenge. We'd love for you to do that.
Yeah, and Samford, by the way, plays Buckyball. Bucky McMillan, their head coach, he's a great story. For people who don't know, and hopefully he joins us later this week, he was a high school coach in Homewood, Alabama, and he'd never even been an assistant college coach, not even an assistant, and he gets hired to be the head coach at Samford and leads them to the NCAA tournament in just a few short years as the head coach for the first time since 2000, 24 years, since Jimmy Tillett was the head coach, who used to listen to Bach and Mozart before games, right? That was Jimmy Tillett. Well, Buckyball, they will get up and down the floor. They want to run, and they are one of the most well-conditioned teams in all of basketball. But can they play big? That's the problem. So I don't think Hunter Dickinson's going to be able to go, the big man for Kansas. If he can't, I like Samford, maybe in an outright win. But I love the 8 points. And then give me New Mexico. New Mexico is so underrated. As an 11 seed, they are favored as an 11 seed. That tells me somebody knows something more than I do. So those are my four that I wagered today, probably more than I should have. Samford, James Madison, Texas Tech, New Mexico. I guess, James, if you want to count those as bet to your hands bleed, we can go ahead and fire that in because I think we're worth 62, 31, and 2 against the number. I'll take those four right now. As a matter of fact, I already did on ESPN.
Gosh,
Bet.
Looking at my
bet to your hands bleed.
Rachel is ready to go.
Hands not bleeding yet. We'll see you on Thursday and Friday.
Well, hopefully they won't be bleeding for you, although I'm hoping for me that they will be because I don't have any of those teams. Like, I have Kansas going to the Sweet 16. I have Clemson going. These matchups with New Mexico and with Samford, I guess I just didn't believe in the underdog, so to speak, although, like you said there with New Mexico, hey,
everything
it's interesting
else,
that they're favored.
I've got chalk going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only ones I really picked as upsets are Samford, James Madison, and New Mexico. I mean, other than that, they're a higher seed for a reason.
Right. I have, FAU beating Northwestern, but that's hardly an upset. I have Drake. That's my double-digit seeding. I have Drake beating Washington State in this bracket. Again, I've filled out several brackets because that's the move. Then you're hoping that you're right
somewhere.
You're
like Golic. Yeah, I mean, you want the cash. I get it.
I find myself when I fill out these brackets because I'm not the person that follows college basketball that religiously throughout the season. Certainly Ian follows it more closely than me, but I find myself leaning SEC very heavily. And probably
that's a good thing.
I'm a Gator, right? So like that's the college basketball that I do tune into throughout the regular season. So this season that might work out for me. The whole SEC bias.
If you got a lot of Big 12 and SEC surviving and advancing, you might be okay.
I might be okay. So I feel pretty good about that. Again, though, that comes down to, are they going to be all worn out because they've been beating each other up all season and they are so good, that conference is so good, or are you going to be battle tested and ready for March? I'm taking the latter approach there with the Big 12 and the SEC and believing on some of those teams to get really far in this tournament. ESPN Tournament Challenge app. Download it. You won't regret it. Fill out your own bracket. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, there's still plenty of news around the NFL to unpack. We will get back to the NFL. ESPN Radio is also available for you on the ESPN app.